Thank you for listening today to our podcast here at Word of Life. We're delighted that you tuned in, and I pray that while you hear us talk, you hear the Holy Spirit speak. I know God's got a big plan for you. We're excited to be a part of that plan. Hopefully, we will see you sometime soon, maybe even this weekend. Until then, we pray you have a wonderful, wonderful week. No, we're not staying in this storm forever, amen? I said, we're not staying in this storm forever. You're not staying in your storm forever. We're going to the other side. Faith is for the middle. How many of you know that? Faith is for the middle. I mean, so many people, they get excited at the start. That's good. It takes a little faith to start, but it takes a lot of faith to keep going. Faith is for the middle. And if you're in the middle, know that that's the exact time you need some faith. And I want to encourage you to lift up your voice in this season. You'll never outthink fear. Amen. Do you hear me? I don't care how hard you try, you'll never outthink fear. You have to outspeak it. You have to speak against it. You have to lift up your voice. And how many of you know, and this is why I love church so much, is sometimes you got to be loud. Yeah. Come on now. Someday you got to be loud sometimes. In prison, in Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas sang and prayed loud enough for the prisoners to hear them. And sometimes you got to sing it out. You got to shout it out. You got to worship it out. You got to speak it out. But one thing is certain, that if you remain silent, if the enemy, Brother Hagin used to say this, if the enemy will keep you in the realm of reason, he'll whip you every time. But if you put him in the arena of faith, you'll whip him every time. We got to get out of our heads and into God's word. We got to get out of our fears and over into what God said about the situation. And I'm telling you, if nothing else, receive this as a word from God for you to say, and that is, we're going to the other side. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what you may be facing. We are going to the other side. We are going to the other side. For some of you, that needs to be your word in this season. We're going to make it. We're going to the other side. We're not passing in this storm. This is not as good as it gets. We're definitely not going back. We are going to the other side. Amen. Amen. Open up your Bibles, if you brought them with you this morning, to the book of Genesis. We're going to look at Genesis chapter number 13 here in the passage of Scripture. The book of Genesis was written by Moses. They tell us that Moses wrote the first five books of the Old Testament. And Moses tells this story in Genesis chapter 13, starting in verse number 10. And Lot lifted up his eyes, you can underline that, lifted up his eyes and beheld, looked at with a steady focus, all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, the land of Egypt, as it comes unto Zoar. Then Lot chose them all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from the other. And Abraham dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and he pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Verse 14, and the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up, there it is again, lift up now your eyes. Notice, don't do it tomorrow. Don't do it 6 months from now. Lift up now your eyes and look from the place where you are. Don't look where you are. Look from that place to where you want to go. To the north, to the south, to the east and the west. For all the land which you, underline it, seest, to you I will give it, and to your seed forever. And I will make your seed as the dust of the earth, so that a man can number the dust of the earth. Then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise and walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto you. For all that you see, God said, I'll give it to you. Lot looked at Sodom and Gomorrah. He pitched his tent in that direction.
That is what he saw day, night, evening. Lot saw Sodom and Gomorrah. Question, where did Lot end up? In Sodom and Gomorrah. He saw it. He looked at it. He stared at it. And his life went in that direction. Where did Abraham look? He looked into the north, the south, the east, and the west. And the Lord said, all that you see, I will give it to you. But one thing you have to do, Abraham, is you have to look up from the place where you are. We had a staff fun day this weekend. How many of you know it's good to have fun? I said, how many of you know it's good to have fun, right? You need fun. Joy is not a luxury. It's a spiritual necessity. Well, somebody says, well, when life gets better, then we'll have more fun. No, when life is worse, when life is terrible, that's when you need to have some fun. Why? The joy of the Lord, it is what? It is your, when do you need strength the most? When it's bad. That's why the Bible tells you in tests and trials to come to do what? Count it all joy. Why? It is your strength. So we place a premium on fun at the staff. And I want to encourage my staff, have more fun. Come to work and have as much fun as possible at work. Because a fun, joyful church, it is a strong church. But anyway, we had staff fun day. And for me, fun is competition. I like to compete at things, whether it's, you know, a board game or a card game or volleyball or whatever it may be. I like competition. I know some don't, but that's okay. It's my church. I like to have as much competition as possible. So we set up like games that people could play and all those types of things. We set up a volleyball court. In fact, we set up two volleyball courts because our staff enjoys engaging in these activities. Well, as soon as I get out on the court, I realize that it has been a minute since I exercised quite like this. And I also was reminded that a lot of my staff is all under 30. And they have certain athleticism that I might not be the possessor of. And so I'm trying to divide up teams because I'll get out there and pick teams as quick as possible, or else 30 minutes will go by and nobody's on a team and everybody's wondering where to go. So anyway, my type A personality kicks in those moments and I start delegating where people are going. Well, naturally, I'm going to build myself the strongest team. I'm looking around to kind of survey the talent. And there was one guy I put on the opposite team. His name was Josh Little. Now, Josh is a fantastic human being. His parents have done a great job raising him. I think Josh is early 20s, maybe 19, 20, 21, somewhere in that neighborhood. And Josh looks athletic. Just when you look at him, you can see athleticism. But I picked him on the other team, and immediately I saw a grave mistake because Josh can jump. Now, if there's one thing this body has never been able to do, it is jump. My vertical is 2 inches. I can promise you that. And when you're playing volleyball, jumping has a strategic advantage to it, even if you've never played volleyball before. So I go out there and I see like Josh is jumping above me. Like his feet are where my eyes are. And I'm like, this is a problem. But luckily, God took care of it for me. You know how God took care of it for me? A bug flew in his eye. Now, that's just true. I see him over there. He's like, oh, gosh. Oh, man. And I'm like, God, I see you, your hand, your favor. It is on me tonight. Because all the ability, talent, God-given strength in the world means nothing if you don't have vision. If you can't see the ball and know where you want it to go, it doesn't matter how high you can jump. It doesn't matter how much strength you have. Do you need other things than vision to play basketball or volleyball? Absolutely. I could see that very clearly this past week, that vision is not all you need in order to be successful on a volleyball court. But one thing is certain, if you don't have it, it doesn't matter if you have all the other things, you're not going to make that much progress. Now, here's why I say all of this. Everyone in this room is God designed, God created, and immensely powerful. You may not see that because you can compare your strength to everybody else's strength, especially in a social media life and generation where people literally have phone addictions, addicted to their phone and looking at everybody else's life. It has caused us to see our own individual greatness. That everyone in this room, everyone watching online, is uniquely designed by the Heavenly Father. Designed to be incredibly powerful, designed to make progress, designed to be successful, to have dominion, honestly, the original commandment of man, to have dominion, to conquer, to be fruitful, to increase, to multiply, to subdue the earth. That means that God has given you the power that when things get out of control, to bring it back into control. Everyone in this room, God's given that ability to. Everyone. And it all looks different. Some can have more athletic ability. Some, their mental strength may be stronger. But everyone in this room has divine help, graces, talents, abilities, all those kinds of things. But it means nothing if you don't have vision. If you don't know where and how to harness all of that and take it somewhere, it doesn't matter what gift God's given you. And vision is most definitely not all you need to succeed at life. I think that that's where the subject kind of got off for a lot of people, as people made it seem like all you needed to do was to envision a better future, and poof, magically, it would appear. No, we know we need more than that. We need diligence, we need faithfulness, we need excellence, we need all these other things. But even if you have all of those things, if you don't know where you want to take life, none of those other things will matter. Now, here's why I'm saying all of this. God's about to give everyone in this room a gift. And you'll only get this gift a handful of times throughout your entire life. And God's going to give it to everyone in about 6 months. You know what it is? It's the gift of a new decade. A new 10 years. God's going to give you the gift of time, which is the greatest gift he can give any of us outside of himself. The gift of time. Now, what you do with this time is entirely upon you. When 2030 comes around, all of us will end up somewhere. I can promise you that. We'll be somewhere. Few of us, hopefully everyone here at Word of Life, will end up somewhere on purpose. Vision sees the purpose. Vision sees the destination. Now, here's what I want. Every time I preach, I don't preach for entertainment. I genuinely preach for decision. I want you to make a decision every time I communicate to you. And here's the decision I want you to make at the end of this message. I'm going to do a spoiler alert and just give it to you in the middle. Here's the decision I want you to make. Next screen. What's your 10 in 10? 10 things you want to accomplish in the next 10 years. We typically overestimate what we can do in a year, but completely underestimate what can happen in a decade. Think about how much life has changed for you in 10 years. Think about how much life has been altered for you over the last 10 years. We underestimate what God can do with time. A lot of times that's our issue. We don't give God enough time. But God has promised us 120 years. That's a long breath of time with about 12 decades in it. And with those decades, you have 12 times where I believe with those 10-year markers, you can see God do something quite not only strategic, but quite special if you'll give God something to work with. And you know what God needs in order to work with you? Faith. Amen. And one thing faith always has is it sees where it wants to go. Faith demands a target. Now, the reason why I'm preaching to you this now and not in January is I don't want you to put a whole bunch of random things on a list. I don't want you to, you know, spend 30 minutes on it and to kind of like, what would I like to see? It's 2020 by 2030, where would I like to be? And just jot down some ideas. No, that's not what I want. I want you to take the next 6 months and I want you to get intimate with God. I want you to take the time to genuinely press into the Holy Spirit, to press into your Father, who is the revealer of secrets, the God whose language is vision and dreams. And I want you to press into him, and I want him to sow specific seed in your heart, seeds of vision, in order for you to see where you need to go. Vision sees what could be. Sight, it sees what is. Vision sees what could be. Now, many of you in here today, you have the gift of sight. What an amazing gift. You can see beauty. You can see grass. You can see lights. You can see what God is doing in your life. That's a beautiful gift. Sight sees what is, but God's given everyone in the capacity here another beautiful gift, and it's vision. Some people call it imagination. But vision sees what could be. That's actually an incomplete quote. Vision sees what could be, but it's fueled by the conviction that it must be. All right, now this is where it gets different than just, you know, what the world may teach. Vision sees what could be, but it's fueled by the conviction that it must be. You'll hear people ask this question, what would you attempt to do if you knew you could not fail? How many of you ever heard that question before? It's a good question. What would you attempt to do if you knew you could not fail? God would ask a different one though. What would you do even if you knew you could fail? What have I called you to? What have I assigned to you? That you know, I have to do this. This is not just something that should be. This is something that must be. This is my assignment. Vision sees it. In the book of Hebrews, it talks about people dying in faith, that all the way up to the process where they went home to be with the Lord, they saw afar off the promises of God and believed that they were receiving them in this life. And God said he was well pleased with that. That no matter how old you are, everyone in here should have a vision. That you're not looking at the past. Amen. You're not looking at the present. You're visiting your greatest desires as often as possible. Amen. You are visiting your highest dream, your God assignment as often as possible. For a leader, and everybody in here is a leader, if you're not leading anything else, you're leading you. For a leader, the vision is more important, or I'll put it to you this way, the future is more important than the present. Amen. Because if the future is not more important than the present, you will never disrupt the present to get to the future. Anytime I'm settling for my current state of affairs, it's because I have lost focus. Remember what Jesus said, or what the book of Hebrews tells us to do with Jesus? It says you need to run the race that is set before you, stripping off every weight and every sin which so easily besets you, looking unto Jesus. Amen. Looking unto Jesus for the joy that was set before him. Jesus had a vision. He had something that was set before him, and when he looked at it, it brought him joy. What could you write down over the next 10 years that if you saw it in your life, it would bring you joy? Amen. If you saw it in your backyard, it would bring you joy. Yeah. If you saw it in your kids, it would bring you joy. If you saw it in your health, it would bring you joy. The Bible teaches us you need to be like Jesus and set those things before you. Why? If you don't see it, God can't give it. If you don't see it, God can't give it. I know we asked this question before when we teach on things like this. Which way does a tree fall? Anybody know which way a tree falls? Whichever way it leans. It's simple. Lot leaned mentally towards Sodom and Gomorrah. Where did he fall? Right there. You always fall in the direction that you're leaning. This is why if you're younger, you need some people in your life who can tell you the direction that you're leaning. Because a tree falls in the direction that it leans. Your life will always go where your mind goes first. I'll put it to you this way. You move in the direction of your most dominant thoughts. Everybody in here, you move in the direction of your most dominant thoughts. My son came to me the other day. He said, how long can I play my video game? He's into Fortnite. How long can I play my video game? I'm like, you've been playing it already. He's like, no, I haven't. I'm like, yeah, you have. He's like, no, I haven't. I'm like, yeah, you have. He's like, how? I'm like, in your mind, you've been playing that game the whole time we've been talking. That's all you've been thinking about. Isn't it funny where you think about, you go? You ate that blizzard long before you ate it. You bought that computer long before you bought it. You saw it. You thought about it. You looked at it. You researched it. You know what that is? Vision. David didn't know when he was looking at Bathsheba that over the course of the next decade, that one decision to look at that would cost him 3 children. Would cost him being kicked out of his kingdom. But looking took his life in a direction that it did not need to go. Looking. Just your look matters. What you look at every day matters. What you set in front of you every day matters. What you think about matters because your life is changed by the renewal of your mind. Whatever your mind begins to focus on, your life begins to go in that direction. You hold it in your heart before you hold it in your hand. With everything. This is not just true with the next 10 years. This is true with what you'll eat for lunch. You'll think about it before you do it. Why? This is the way God's wired you. This is the principle of vision. Now, what we want to do is we don't want to just exist. We want to create. In fact, I would say, well, I'm getting ahead of myself. How much time do I have? I got 10 minutes. Woo! Let me slow down, though. Worst case scenario, they just come in, right? We'll put them somewhere. In John chapter 6, they'll put it up on the screens. John chapter 6, verse 9. You know the story. Jesus is feeding, wants to feed people, and they're like, where in the world are we going to get all the food necessary to feed people? This is the disciples talking to Jesus. And Jesus asks them, well, what do you have? And one of the disciples comes up and says, there is a lad here which has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? See, what's he doing? He's walking by sight. He's looking at what he has in his hands, and then he's looking at life, and he's like, but what is this among that? What's happening here? Sight is killing his vision. Sight is killing his vision. Jesus, though, sees with a higher sight. Now, you need to get this. Jesus sees with a higher sight. He doesn't see what is, he sees what could be, and instead of being discouraged about what is, he's excited about what could be, because he knows if he gets that little bit of bread and little small fish in his hands and lifts it up unto God, it's amazing what God can do with some bread and some fish. The only thing different was the way they saw. One looked with the eyes, the other one looked with the heart. I don't know why this is so hard for people, but I found it's true, it is. Some people just get this. Other people don't get it. And they walk around looking at their life and say, but what is it among so many? Who am I among so many? And other people, they just get it. You gotta get it. Because it doesn't matter how uber talented you are, if you don't have vision, it doesn't mean anything. My father and mother. Look at this. None of this existed 10 years ago. You talk about what could change in a decade. None of this existed 10 years ago. 10 years ago, everything you see out here was dirt in a parking lot. It's amazing what God can do in 10 years. Give God time. Yes. We overestimate what can happen in a year, but we completely underestimate what God can do in a decade. Yes. Give him time. Amen. You know how all this started? It started with a man who gave his life to Jesus who absolutely had nothing but the Word of God. Amen. And him and my mother, when they got married, they ate off of plywood and cinder blocks. Cinder blocks and plywood was their dining room table. The car that they were driving, they would have to stretch a rubber band from one door to the other, like one of those big things that would, you know, latch a hold, the thing you put in the back of a truck, the bed to, like, you know, kind of stop things from falling, the big rubber thing with the hooks on the end. They would have to stretch one from the one door to the other just to keep the doors closed. The seat would keep falling down because the mechanism in it broke. So they had to take a broomstick and kind of rig it up to the back of the seat so that when they laid back, they wouldn't collapse. Amen. And they came back with that and started this. Amen. You know why? You know why? Some people live by sight. Amen. Ronnie and Paige Sims live by vision. Yes. That was four decades ago. Amen. 2020 will not just be 2020, will be 40 years that this church has been in this earth. 40 years. Isn't that something? What has sight killed in you? What's sight taken from you? Who told you that? I heard Miles Monroe preach a message. I was watching him the other day. He teaches on vision a lot. So I went back to go listen to some old messages that had spoken to me. And I went on YouTube to kind of look through different things and look through messages where Miles Monroe was preaching, one of my favorite preachers. Amen. And Miles was talking about a time where he met Corrie ten Boom. Now, many of you know of her. Her and her family saved many Jewish families from Nazi concentration camps and all of those kinds of things. Just a wonderful woman of God. And she came in to Oral Roberts University, and Miles Monroe was on the Regents board there. And he got to have a dinner with her and two other people. And he asked her, he said, if you could give me one word of advice, what would it be? That's a good question. You ask good questions, you get good answers. You ask dumb questions, you'll get a dumb answer. If you ask of life, why am I so stupid? You know what life will tell you? All the reasons. You got to stop asking those questions. He asked a good question. If you could tell me any one word of advice, what would it be? She answered with this. She said, don't let the darkness take from you what God said to you in the light. Now, take a moment with that. Don't let darkness take from you what God said to you in the light. There are moments in God where you're walking in the light. And when you're in the light, it's just like if you turn on the lights in this room, what happens? You can see. You're not fooling around. You're not moving slow. You're not hesitant. You're not stationary. When the lights are on in this room, you'll see. Some of you, it's amazing how quick you'll get out of this room. Service is over. It's we closed our eyes and we looked up and you were gone. It's amazing how fast you can move in the light. But you turn the lights completely off in this room, Woo, you talk about dark. And there have been times, I know this building like the back of my hand. And there are times in the dark, well, I walk into this room, and I'm walking slow, slow, man. I mean, like I'm hesitant with every step. And I know the room, but it's dark, so I can't see, so I'm hesitant. I'm not moving fast. Why? I can't see where I'm going. And there are moments in your walk with God where you're in the light, and in the light, you see. You see. And when you see, God begins to show you visions and dreams. These are the moments in life where life is good and God is big. There are other moments where life, and to you, is not so good, and instead of magnifying God, you've magnified everything else. But in the light, life is good and God is big. And God begins to show you a hope and a future. Plans that he has for you. Things that not only should be, but things that must be. Not for 15 other people. Because vision, honestly, it's not even given so much as it is awakened. It's not searched, it's discovered. It's something where God, in his presence, God begins to dust off something that he placed in you before you ever hit this earth. And he dusts it and he shows it to you. Why? Why does he show it to you? Because if you don't see it, he can't give it. In the light, that's what you see. You dream. You know what happens when you dream? You never feel more alive. There's a passion. There's a life. There's a joy. But we don't always stay in the light, do we? Sometimes darkness comes in. Tests, trials, unforeseen things. Things you didn't see. Storms that God didn't tell you about. Things that catch you off guard. Things that discourage you. And darkness creeps in. You know what happens when darkness creeps in? We move a lot slower. If we move at all. We stop thinking of increase and we start thinking survival. How are we going to survive? That's the way to absolute destruction. Because where there is no vision, everything begins to perish. If you want to not perish, you don't need to think survival, you need to think increase. And darkness begins to creep in over into our life. We don't move. We don't dream. We don't see. We sit, and at best, we'll get up and we'll move real slow. And you know what we do? We forsake our greatest desires. Did you know God is not insulted by your biggest dreams? He's insulted by anything less. Because all that other stuff, you could do without him. But with the God vision, there's always more questions than there are answers. Amen. Listen to me. With a God vision, there's always more questions than there are answers. God came to David and showed him being a king. You know how many questions that brought up? What's going to happen to Saul? How in the world am I going to get there? Even if something did happen to Saul, what in the world is going to happen to Jonathan? What's going to happen to all those other kids Saul has? Like, how in the world would it ever be given to me? I'm only a kid. My father left me out here when everybody else in the household got invited to the party to begin with. I'm not even qualified to be a man of war. Like, I'm out here just watching the sheep. You know how many questions came up when God gave him that vision? If he would have looked at sight, it would have killed his vision. Because God doesn't show you all the hows. If he showed you all the hows, you wouldn't need faith. God just shows you the what. There's always more questions than answers. You know why? Because the answer to all the questions is God himself. Jehovah Jireh, that's how. The Lord God will provide. The answer to every question is the one who gave the vision. God. And one of the things when you read David's story is you see a season of his life where darkness absolutely invades. And you see a season of life where he could have forsaken his God dream. And you know what? Everybody in here will have that. Everybody in here will have that if they get a vision in the first place. But you know what? A lot of people never get it in the first place. You know why they never get it in the first place? They never look for it. You got to get with God. And as we approach this next 10 years, some of us, it's exactly, we need to get with God and we need a vision. But for many of you, it's the Holy Spirit reminding you of the things God's already spoken to you. The things that you lost in darkness that God spoke to you in the light. The dreams that you abandoned. It's not over. I heard that yesterday when I was praying. It's not over. It's not over. This is not the end. It's just the beginning. I don't care if it's your, for some, it's your best days right now. For Abraham, after this chapter that we just read, life was so good, his biggest problem was it was too good. And God came to him and said, "You think that's the end? Why are you looking down? You need to look up. You need to look up." The Lord spoke this to my heart this past week. Maybe I should save this for next week. But for the name of content, we'll just get it to you now. Seems right. Seems right. He said, "You're robbing me." I said, "What? You're robbing me." Immediately, I thought back to a stewardship passage, you know, in Malachi chapter 3, where he said, "You're robbing me, even this whole nation." And they're like, "How are we robbing you?" He said, "In tithes and in offerings." I said, I'm not robbing you. You know I'm a tither. I'm a giver. I sow offerings. He said, no, you're not robbing me with that. You're robbing me with something else. I said, "How am I robbing you?" He said, "You're robbing me by not dreaming." For 16 years of my adult life, I dreamed of this. I envisioned it. I prayed it out. I walked through it. He didn't just tell him. Maybe we'll cover this next week. He didn't just tell him to see it. He said, "I want you to walk through it." I walked through it. I walked over this land when it was nothing but dirt. I saw it. And you know what? Over the course of a decade, I've seen God do it. And I enjoy it. And I had God speak to me on three separate occasions. One time, I was standing on here on a Friday praying in the Spirit. And when I did, I looked up and the Lord spoke to my heart. He said, "Dream bigger." I'm like, "What? Bigger than this?" "Yes, dream bigger." I'm like, "I don't even know where to start." "Dream bigger." That's all he gave me. Two other times I had two people come up to me prophetically, come up to me and say, "God wants you to dream bigger." I'm like, "I know." "Dream bigger." Again, third time. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. And I just got to a place where I definitely was not looking back. I've just been looking down. I've enjoyed this. This is good. But God told, he said, finally, this is what woke me up. He said, "You're robbing me. I need you to dream bigger. I need you to do more. You know there's some things that I spoke to you. I want you to walk those things out. I want you to do those things." And I'm telling you right now, some of you in this room, you've been immensely successful, but you're robbing God. You're robbing him. And the way you're robbing him is something in your life has gotten so content that you are not forgetting those things that are behind you and pressing for those things in front of you. You've gotten so full, you're not hungry anymore. And God is saying, "Bring me an empty vessel. I don't want your full ones. Bring me an empty vessel. Look at the full ones and give thanks, but let it inspire you to bring me an empty vessel. I need something to pour into. I want to show another miracle," because it's not just about you. It's about all the things that God wants to do through you, all the people God wants to bless, all the lives God wants to change, all the people in the earth who who are waiting on the other side of your dreams being fulfilled. Because a God dream, it's never about you. It's never just about you. It's about those who are divinely connected to you. And I'm telling you, over the next 6 months, find your 10 and 10. Then the next 10 years, what do I want it to look like? When 2030 comes, where do I want to end up on purpose? What did God speak to me in the light? Write it down, 10 things in 10 years you want to see God do in and through you. Let me pray for you. Father, we love you so much today. So much, Lord Jesus. We honor you, we praise you, we bless your name. Father, I thank you for your anointing in this place. And what I ask, Father, is that in all of our hearts, all of our lives, you help us dream. You help us lift up our eyes from the place where we are at and see. See what you've called us to. See what you want to bring to us. See what you want to do in us. We thank you, Father, for dreams. I hear this in my heart. Some of you have allowed other people's dreams to become your dream for you. And I just hear the Lord say, be authentic to the dream I've given you, to the dreams I've placed in you. Just because they are going in that direction doesn't mean you have to go in that direction. Just because they told you this was the way it needed to go doesn't mean that's the direction that I have for you to go. Dream the dream I've given you, not the dream that they want for you. For many people have helped you get up to this point, but this is the foundation that you are to build off of. And even if they might not understand it, it is okay to follow my voice and to follow my leading. Over time, they'll see it was the right way. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Obey the Lord and overcome the fear of man. Yield to him, serve him, please him. And even if they become enemies, he'll bring peace with them. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, we love you so much. So much, Father. With every head bowed, every eye closed, real quick. If you're here today and you need to make a decision for Jesus, maybe it's to be born again. Maybe it's just to rededicate your life and to start fresh and new. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. I'm not going to make anyone look at you, but if that's you, would you lift up your hand all over this place? Hands going up, hands going up. Amazing, hands going up. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Everybody in here, just pray this prayer with me. You can repeat it after me. Say, dear Heavenly Father, I thank you. My best days are not behind me. They are starting right now because of your grace, your mercy. Jesus, you are my Lord and my Savior. My old life, all my bad decisions, they've passed away and you've made all things new. We love you, Father, and we thank you for forgiveness, grace, and mercy. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.